for that type of ironclad guarantee. The uniform funding reduction mechanism, if there's a lottery shortfall, if without video poker, if there's a lottery shortfall, there will be an across-the-board reduction on all of the programs except light rail and the prison construction. If there is a shortfall and video poker is in place, video poker will backfill up to the 100 and, I believe, $6 million allocation. What else? That's the main overlook. If anybody has any questions about any of the items in there, I'd be more than happy to try to talk about them. But basically what you've got is a continuation of a number of the programs, but with a clear distinction between the potential of video poker and the regular lottery.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions? Representative Gilmore.
Needs. Senator Quabush, what line would I find the concern that I discussed with you and the economic department?
Let's see, I think that would be the...
would that be in a regional...
That's Special Public Works Fund, Representative Gilmore. And you'll find that in two areas. If you look on the page two of the sheets under regions and communities, there's a $9 million item there. Okay. And then if you go down to the timber response, there is a $4 million item there for a targeted Special Public Works Fund.
That's the area. Thank you.
We split those to be sure that a portion of that would go into the communities that are most affected, small communities that are heavily affected by mill closures.
It's my understanding, follow-up, that if there is no community development in that specific small town, timber town, and need to be expressed a short distance away where something could be done, it could be moved over a bit.
That depends on the level of cooperation between the two entities, and I think you're involved in an excellent example of that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions, comments on Senate Bill 562?
Too much space.
Any objection to sending Senate Bill 562 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered.
Ray.
Senate Bill 701, Senator Trowe.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 701 is a bill that relates to the Partners for Human Investment Board. The bill sets forth a human investment policy and establishes a 9-member Partners for Human Investment Board. The board is charged with promoting state human investment policy through demonstration projects, education of the public, and assistance to local communities. The board will operate as a sub-board and receive staff support from the Oregon Progress Board. The measure includes a $250,000 other fund expenditure limitation for receipt of gifts and grants for demonstration projects. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on Senate Bill 701? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 701 to the floor of the Senate? Do pass. Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 851, Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, this bill expands the Oregon version of Head Start by adding $10.7 million to the $5.7 million base contained in the Department of Education grant and aid budget. The base budget funds three- and four-year-olds, which include an envelope of family services in addition to preschool activities. The $10.7 million will fund an additional 1,225 kids. The budget anticipates that about 10% of these children will be eligible for early intervention services and that the cost of those services will be covered in this appropriation as an offset to the total cost associated with implementing Senate Bill 1146, the bill that adopts the federal law known as 99-457. The Department of Education estimates by the end of the biennium, 2,250 children will be enrolled on a phase-in basis. The agency estimates that this number, in combination with about 3,500 children served through federal Head Start represent services to about 38% of the 15,000 children that could benefit from these services and would be eligible if we had sufficient funds. Urge the adoption, 851.
Thank you, Senator. Comments?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Shipwreck.
My benefit, Senator Roberts, is this a new program or a federal mandate?
The federally funded Head Start program has been going on for a long time. It probably enrolls about 15% of the eligible children in Oregon. 4 years ago, I believe it was, we started funding Head Start programs through state funds, which are exactly the same as the federal funds, work under the same sort of regulations. This is a significant addition to that. The $10.7 million for this program is an addition to the $5.7 million that's already in our base budget.
Representative Van Vliet.
There was a real desire to move this under regular operational program rather than leave it in lottery. If anybody has been following stories about what's happening to the children in this country, this is probably one of the most undersold items in this whole budget this session. And probably more attention should be focused on it than anything else we've done as a way to start to assist some of the children in the state. I think it's a good bill. It's a good expenditure of funds. I think it will benefit us down the line in maybe even preventing some of the things that we're paying for in the future.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take this occasion to call everybody's attention to a book called When the Bow Breaks, which is an account of the plight of children in America, written by a woman by the name of Sonia Haycock, I think her name is, who spoke recently at the Portland City Club. I had the chance to talk with her, and I've read only a portion of the book so far. It's going to be on my agenda for the summer reading, and I think everybody should read it to recognize what a key factor in the future of America is the degree to which we reverse ourselves in America with reference to the neglect of children. It's a very engrossing story, and I hope everybody will read it, because I think that it really touches on what is the very key to trying to bring a little bit more health and sanity into our society. We continue to neglect preventive programs as we struggle with trying to pay for the consequences of neglect.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 851 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 1006, Senator Hill.
Oh, that's you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This measure authorizes the Attorney General's full-time deputies and assistants to voluntarily represent indigent clients without compensation or expenditure of state resources. The indigent clients must be referred by a nonprofit civil legal aid office or pro bono program. Currently, assistant attorney generals and the attorney general may not perform pro bono work. This would allow them to perform pro bono work. I questioned whether there could be a conflict, whether they could represent someone who would be involved in a case that the attorney general, through his official capacity, is working on. And they said no, that would be prevented.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 1006 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 1077, Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 1077 is the latest in a series of bills considered by the legislature over the years dealing with an attempt to control escalating health medical costs through a certificate of need program. This bill And let us say that the sick need program was essentially related to high-cost medical equipment and some specialized high-cost programs. There is certainly a great deal of conflict as to whether the certificate of need program has had any effect upon costs, which have been escalating at a tremendous rate in spite of these controls. Indeed, many people feel that the certificate of need program has not only been ineffective, but is perhaps, in a sense, actually added to cost because of the controversy, the litigation, and so forth involved. Basically, the certificate of need program was based upon the cost of the item. The threshold for cost has been changed over the years, raised higher and higher. There is, therefore, exempting more and more purchases and equipment from the certificate of need. At present, any item of equipment with associated materials which costs more than $1 million has to go through a certificate of need program, which basically determines whether or not that equipment is required really in the medical community to serve the needs. This bill extends the certificate of need program for 2 more years. There is a sunset on it now. And would extend the sunset for 2 years. But the measure does a lot more than that. It establishes a 9-member health resources commission appointed by the governor. The commission is required to carry out research and development function on the efficiency of treatment alternatives and simplification and efficiency of healthcare delivery systems, other methods to improve quality and to reduce the cost of healthcare services, and 3, to perform data analysis in support of improving the quality and effectiveness of healthcare, and 4, develop methods to assist healthcare facilities and providers to make efficient use of available resources in the provision of quality care and the training and continuing education of healthcare professionals. Now, all this research and this directive is intended to try to change the certificate of need program from one of merely determining whether or not high pieces of equipment and procedure should be approved based upon their cost, but instead to do really a survey to determine what kind of practices and procedures ought to be approved, which, if approved, and if others were disapproved, would actually change the character of healthcare needs, and through that process, in a much broader form, try to regulate the inflation of health costs. The Health Services Commission is to also develop recommendations on an effective and administratively efficient program by which the state can act to limit the excessive acquisition and utilization of such medical facilities, technologies, and services as the Commission determines warranted. So it's a broader approach. The Commission to submit a progress report to the Governor and the Legislative Joint Legislative Committee on Health Care, and the measure requires that all applicants for a certificate of need, plus any owner-operator of a magnetic resonance imaging scanner acquired on or after the effective date of this bill, that it provide specific items of information to the Commission to assist the Commission in performing its research function. General fund appropriation of $250,000 is made to the Executive Department to assist in providing staff support to the Commission, and an other funds expenditure limitation of $75,000 is provided to the Office of Health Policy, Department of Human Resources. This is the organization which administers the Certificate of Need Program to provide for the administration of that program from the revenues. Urge the adoption of 1077.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator. Representative Gilmore, and then Senator Hannon.
I supported this bill after long, long debate in the subcommittee. Had I personally had my druthers, I think we should have probably given up and let the sunset go into effect.
Amen.
I guess
Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman and members, I think this is an agency that has outlived its usefulness. We have more MRIs in Portland than the whole nation of Canada. And everybody says, well, this is going to limit everybody running out and buying their local MRI and putting it in their backyard and running up the cost of medicine. This isn't doing diddly squat. All it is doing is collecting general fund and license fees to prevent competition out in the communities. The only people that are really advocating certificate of need is one hospital that doesn't want their competitor down the street to be competing with them.
That's right.
Let's face it for what it is.
Yeah.
It does nothing else. And the nursing home industry has been in here advocating for years to have the certificate of need because they limit the amount of nursing home beds and it runs my competitor out down the street because they can't remodel. They can't add bed space. And so let's put it in proper perspective. I'm going to oppose this. I think we should allow the sunset to take effect and allow it to have a peaceful death.
Representative Kalari.
I agree with everything that you said. This is government run amok. These people not only do everything that's in their hand and talk about, but actually get into telling health providers what kind of equipment they can buy and down to the brand names. And I look at this in the context of something I care a lot about, which was discussion yesterday about trying to get drunk drivers off the road and heard all the rhetoric about we can't afford to spend general fund money to do something that would really impact people. We're worth frittering away $250,000. It makes me very angry. I'm very much against this whole program. I think everything that's been said here is accurate, and if I could vote 8 times, I would do it for
Thank
no.
Thank you very much. Representative Shipwreck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to vote no on this for another reason. That's the first part of the bill, to spend $250,000 to study something that's been studied and studied and studied is a waste of money. As far as the Certificate of Need program is concerned, I wish it would work. I sincerely wish it would work. I don't know exactly what the problem has been, if it's a lack of folks at the state level. I suspect the providers don't want it to work. But I'll tell you what, it's getting to the point where these health care costs, particularly in the metropolitan Portland area, to see all the money being spent and the health care bills escalating. And you got some people that are wondering how they're going to pay for their medical costs. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe we'll deal with it some other day when it finally breaks down. But it's a bad bill.
And if we don't maintain it, make it double win.
Further discussion? I guess I have a comment. There's obviously a real frustration with the number of MRIs in Oregon, and of course one of the reasons we have so many MRIs is because the limits that the legislature has established, thanks to a lot of pressure from the provider community on the certificate of need process, is in fact at $1 million. And MRIs sell for about $999,000. Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the problem. And I think there was an effort. In fact, the subcommittee amended the bill to lower the cap to, I think it was $500,000, and it was like World War III.
That's minor.
And the problem was that people who didn't want to be subject to the certificate of need process and justify the need for the machine didn't want to have their machine subject to it. So that's the frustration. Senator Cairns.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe the subcommittee at one point had an amendment in the bill which would have required all MRI, regardless of cost,
right,
after the effective date, to go through this CON process. And we also had an amendment to lower the cap, and you know, World War III is about right. The fact of the matter is, it's not the matter of the law, it's the fact that we apparently lack the gumption amongst all the members here to simply slap these folks down and say, here's the deal. And instead, they're slapping us down and saying, no, you don't understand. It's our deal. So that's what's in front of us.
Any other comments? Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, people have shouted at the failure of the certificate need program. The fact is, exactly as the chairman, co-chairman, has stated it, it is the legislature, by its unwillingness to maintain standards, which has sabotaged the whole thing. The whole controversy arises because the CN was based upon a dollar threshold. And every time equipment approached that threshold, the legislature was pressured into raising the threshold so that more and more devices came outside of the restriction in the CN. Therefore, much of the controversy among the providers has been the effort of the agency to accomplish the objectives of the CN, even though they didn't really have the clear law behind them. So they had a went through long process to try to determine that the applicant for the CN was not avoiding the threshold by hiding costs, avoiding them, and so forth. And so this led to great controversy. The result is that in almost every case for a CN had to be granted. Every case for an MRI, for instance, had to be granted because it could be established they came underneath the threshold established by the legislature. I think that you have to understand, I probably didn't do it effectively enough to make it clear that what the approach here is that would be undertaken during a study which has never been undertaken before, I'd like to point out, but a study to try to determine if we can, instead of focusing just on machines and the cost of those machines, we focus on the type of services that are provided, specialized services. How many burn clinics, for instance, do you need in a given area? If you have duplication of those centers, then the cost of service in any one of the burn centers has to go up to absorb the total cost. And so the whole focus here and the idea and the reason for the $250,000 is to try to get at the whole range of services whose costs contribute to the escalation of the cost of medical services. Now, we maybe can't afford $250,000 for this, but the state of Oregon and the people in the state of Oregon can't afford the millions and millions of dollars that they're spending every year in inflated costs for health. Now, we may not be able to do anything about it, but we certainly should make this investment to attempt to protect the people of Oregon from these tremendous costs, increases. So I'm trying to say to you that I hope the outcome of this will be 2 years from now, we will wipe out entirely the idea of trying to determine the thresholds by dollar amounts, and we will move to a system in which we really look at the cost of services and how they contribute to inflation. I would certainly urge the adoption of this measure so we can see if we can make a much more effective approach to controlling costs than this old CN program, which was based upon dollar thresholds for major medical equipment.
Okay, we'll consider that a close.
I have a question.
Representative Minnis?
Well, I'm wondering why Section 13 of the bill amends the statements of economic interest filed by public officials in the state.
Art, can you help us out?
The amendment
I
is.
Didn't catch the question, Mr. Chairman.
Question again, Representative Minnis. Section 13.
Section 13 of the bill says ORS 244050 is amended to read, and that section of the statute deals with the statements of economic interest filed by public officials. They're trying to figure out what's been amended and why it's part of this bill.
Special public conference.
I guess the confidentiality of the
right. I find what he's referring to is the
conference. Here it is. There's a change.
It has to do with the confidentiality, I believe, of the work that the commission's going to do with the people that they're going to report upon that are.
Well, it looks like it.
If you would identify the page in the bill or the amendment in the line. Perhaps I know what you're referring to.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I think Representative Shipley pointed page 10, line 8. They're deleting the Certificate of Need Appeals Board, I believe, as people who would have to file a statement of economic interest. I think that's the answer.
There is no certificate of need appeal board anymore.
Okay.
Just an obsolete section.
All right.
Okay. Question answered?
It's answered.
Okay, we'll call the roll on Senate Bill 1077.
Representatives Gilmore?
Aye.
Jones?
No.
Bunn?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Calori?
No.
Shipwreck?
No.
Nunes?
No.
Co-Chair Van Vliet?
Aye.
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Tro?
Aye.
Yee?
Aye.
Kearns?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Bobush?
Aye.
Co-Chair Bradbury?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senate Bill 1077 goes where it needs to go. Goes to the, I just hadn't looked at my notes. It goes to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 1087, Senator Tro.
Well, all right.
Like an editor.
1087. No, it wasn't. 1087 is a good bill. It's one that establishes a priority for the provision of preventive mental health services for children. It directs the Mental Health Division to include these services as a high priority within its proposed budget and describes the form and scope of services. The committee deleted a $1 general fund appropriation and deleted language that would have redirected existing resources to prevention services. This is a policy statement mostly for the future, although it certainly applies now. But in the future, we want to see far more emphasis upon preventive mental health services for children. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to sending Senate Bill 1087 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2072, Representative Minnis.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2072 is necessary, interestingly, to bring Oregon in compliance with another federal act, the Federal Truth and Mileage Act, and that requires that the title and registration forms that we have within our state have to have an odometer reading certified on those documents, and then each time there's a transaction title transfer, there has to be a new inspection of the odometer reading and a form filled out so that when that sale is completed, there's a little odometer statement that is Oregon's own that has to accompany it. The requirement and the reason that we have to do this is because if Oregon doesn't bring our titles in compliance, we'll unfortunately not be able to transfer any of our titles into other states if we're not in compliance. It does necessitate an increase of title transfer fees of approximately $1 for each of three or four different categories, I'm not exactly sure. And it's an increase of 14 FTE within the Department of Motor Vehicles, which is fairly substantial. However, the committee did take into consideration the fact that the Transportation Subcommittee beat the living tar out of DMV in their base budget. And there's some disagreement with respect to that. But it is an act that is necessary to bring our state statutes in compliance with federal law. And
thank you, Representative.
Recommend and I vote.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 2072? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2072 to the floor of the House? Representative Calori and Representative Gilmore object. Any other objections? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2240, Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2248 engrossed allows PERS to contract for medical benefits for surviving spouse or dependent if the retired member was receiving benefits at the time of death and the survivor was covered by member's health insurance contracted to the ERS. Bill continues current PERS practice to provide medical coverage for the surviving spouse or dependent and pay the $60 premium subsidy, even though the member did not elect to continue coverage for the spouse or dependent after the death of the member. The continued coverage applies only to the surviving spouse or dependent of members who had retired prior to May 1, 1991, There's 131 individuals involved. Members retiring after May 1, 91 will be counseled that medical coverage will be continued for the spouse or dependent only if elected. The fiscal impact to all PERS employers to fund the current practice is $700,000 per biennium. The cost to state agencies employers is $250,000 per biennium. I recommend approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Any objection to sending House Bill 2240 to the floor of the House to do pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2257, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2257 establishes a uniform procedure for the disposition of surplus state-owned real property with a goal of retaining state ownership only to the extent that is necessary to conduct state business and provide for needs of the foreseeable future. The bill stipulates that the acquisition, exchange, lease, retention, and management of state-owned real property be subject to a statewide plan that will encourage the use of property already owned by the state. Among other provisions, the bill requires that agencies, unless specifically exempted, notify the Department of General Services of their intent to dispose of or acquire real property. Stipulates that General Services must approve